Okay, show me again. Who hasn't met me before? Yeah. Okay, now you have. How many of you have no idea what I'm about? You're just here by faith. Uh-oh. You might get mad then. I make people mad sometimes. It's all right. I don't care. Okay, well, I live in Georgia. You can tell. What? Yes, you can tell I'm not from Texas. I don't have a Texas accent. I'm trying to get this off my... Jane. Okay, the other thing I need is my little packet of Kleenexes. Oh, this is fine, Beverly. Look, this goes, that's just... Oh, no, it doesn't. Yes, it does. Okay, it's all right. Okay, so, well, I'm from England originally. About 35 years ago, though. Long time ago. I still have my accent a little bit. That's because it has advantages if you get pulled over. Because it's like a psychological thing, you know. People think, because you have a different accent, you somehow don't understand. You can't really see the speeding sign, you know. Anyway, okay. I don't get pulled over very much. I just can have a scanner. No, sorry. Ah, oh, we're going to break some mindsets, aren't we? Yeah. Okay. You know, I travel probably 48 weeks a year, and so I get a pretty good look at what's happening all over the world, because I travel all over the world, and so I'm excited because how many of you realize there's a powerful Niagara Falls move on its way? Yes, very powerful. So I actually saw that probably about 6 years ago. I'll tell you what happened. And I was in Joy Strang's house. I don't know, she owns Charisma magazine and all that. So I was in her house having a meeting. Somebody was playing the piano, and I suddenly was frozen in the spirit. I'm sure that's happened to some of you. You know, it happens a lot when God is moving. The anointing comes on you very strong, and you really can't move. So that happened. I was frozen for quite a while. You usually go somewhere. Like I have a lot of meetings sometimes, and people go in chariots, God's chariots, because he always loves to show you what he's doing. So I kind of went away. I was supposed to be speaking. I went away, and... they just kept on singing, so waiting for me to come back, I guess. And I was suddenly, I heard this noise, like this rushing, you know, rushing water. And I felt it all around my legs. And I was standing in this water, and it was like this. And I looked up, I could hear this deafening noise, like thunder. And I looked up, and about a quarter of a mile away was Niagara Falls. And it was like, I'm sure a lot of you have been there. Who's been there? It's quite scary, isn't it? That water is scary. Because like how many thousands of tons of water a second come over those falls? And it's thunderous. Anyway, I could hear this noise and I could see these falls. And I was like being drawn towards it. And I was trying to stop, but I couldn't. You know, like, and the Lord said to me, how would you like to get under that? So I said, well, I'll die for sure. He said, well, not if you're dead already. He said, preach on Romans 6, you know, you were crucified with Christ, not trying to be, not going to be, hopefully sometime, you were crucified with Christ, it's part of your salvation, you're crucified with Christ, the old man was crucified, so that by faith you can walk in the new man, yeah. He's already created in righteousness and holiness, so that's when I first saw that, and then those words have been coming now, more steadily. And the Lord gave me a word. It was on the Elijah list that time 6 years ago. And he said, this move will be called the Great Grace Revival. And then the newest book out of Wales, you know, God's pouring out his spirit again in Wales. And this book about the revival in Wales is called The Grace Outpouring. See, so what I see God doing, like, you know, you see these words that can be a bit scary, you know, like God's coming, getting ready, and he's cleaning us up, and you think, oh, you know, what's that mean? And he's getting rid of stuff, and he's exposing things. Well, you know, most of us tend to think of, like, these big sins or something, but it's actually not really talking about that. It's really talking about mindsets. God is cleaning up the mindsets, because our mindsets prevent us from receiving everything that he has for us. God gets glory when we receive the promise. Is that right? God gets glory when we receive the promise. God does not get glory in what we don't receive. Jesus made everything available. You know, he died and rose again. And when he rose again, he qualified you 100%. Maybe in San Antonio, he qualified you like 98%. Did he qualify you 100% or not? He qualified you. He took the test and passed it. There's not another test. There's not another test. You see, but, so say this after me. So you see, Jesus left us that realm of the Spirit, right? So say this after me. The realm of the Spirit. Supernatural realm. The angels. Heavenly visitations, the chariots of God, and all that good stuff. It's meant to be normal, 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 part of my life. If it's not, I'm being ripped off. And it's true. So that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, some mindsets that stop us receiving everything that God provided. There's a lot of mindsets that are good. You know, they're in church, but they're not really scriptural at all. So I'm going to talk about those tonight. But I want to tell you a couple of stories, because I love it. See God breaking boxes everywhere. You know, these boxes. How many of you realize you have a box? How many of you realize you put yourself in a box? You do. Actually, your box is created by yourself. And maybe you family, parents, school teacher, church, Sunday school teacher, friends. They all help to create your box. And those things all help to create what you think about you, yourself. Is that right? Because, you know, and when you put yourself in a box like that, unconsciously, you do also put God in a box. You see, because God is related to how you're thinking. So I love to break those boxes, because God is moving big time. He's doing some outrageous things that a lot of Christians wouldn't approve of. But guess what? He's not asking your approval. He's not asking your opinion about anything. He's just doing some amazing things. There was a prophecy that was given actually in 1904 in Russia to a Russian monk. And a similar one was given in 1930 to a group of people in England. And I'll try and tell you about it really quick. You have to try and follow me though. So I'm trying to make a long story short. But it's so exciting, I believe. Do you know who Bob Jones is? Okay, he's a prophet. He's my daddy, one of my daddies. And have you ever heard of Arthur Burt? Some of you have. Okay, Arthur Burt, he's been in the ministry since he was 10. And now he's 101. So he's been in the ministry for 90 years. Hello, that's a long time. That's double what I've been in the ministry. I've been in the ministry 45 years. By the way, we've been in tremendous revival. We've birthed churches, raised up churches, pastored churches, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Sold the t-shirt, got another t-shirt. So in case you think I don't know anything, I've been around the block a few times. You know, people think I'm light, so I don't know anything. But I could probably out-theologize you if I had to. But, you know, we don't want to go there because there's no life in it. Anyway, I'm just telling you that, so, you know. But anyway, so I was in Wales with Steve Shorts, you know, the Elijah List guy, some other people in a group, because I take groups to Ireland and Scotland every April. Go next week. Beverly comes often. Well, quite a lot of times now. And then I go to Wales in about September. I've written some books on the Irish fathers of the faith in the 5th century. Patrick, Brendan, Bridget, Columbus, those guys. Patrick, by the way, you heard of Patrick because you just had St. Patrick's Day. Patrick was not known because of wearing green. You know, or like in Savannah, they turn the beer green. And in Macon, where I live, they turn the fountains green, you know. And the kids' lemonade, they make it all green. But, and, you know, Patrick was not known because he chased snakes out of Ireland. There's never been any snakes in Ireland to chase, so. But he was known as the man that raises dead people. That was his reputation. How would you like that reputation? That was his reputation. He was known as the man that raises dead people. So I have some books back there on that. Awesome stories. I'll just tell you this one. In Dublin, I'll tell you this one because it's short. Dublin, the king of Dublin at the time had already rejected the gospel because he had his druid wizards and they could do stuff. I mean, they were powerful. They could do stuff. So he had rejected the gospel because they had power. Well, in 1 week, two of his children died. His little boy died of a sickness, and his little girl was drowned in the River Liffey. So they're fixing to have a druid funeral, and somebody said to the king, did you know that Patrick, the man that raises dead people, is in the next village? So the king said, well, bring him, see if he'll do anything. So they asked Patrick to come over, and the king took him to where the bodies were laid out, and the king said, can you do anything? And Patrick said, yes, I can. But if I do, it will be in the name of Jesus. And if my God does this for you, you have to serve my God. And the king said, okay. Or whatever the fifth century equivalent of okay was. So he raised the two children from the dead. And that afternoon, the whole of Dublin was baptized in the River Liffey. So anyway, that's a little story about Patrick, but they're all like that. They all, you know, the monasteries had like 4,000 young people. Their monasteries were not like we think of a monastery, people all tucked away. They're like our Bible college. You know what I mean? And they went out, signs and wonders. You know, Ireland, Europe, so much miracles and revival happened at that time. People going out from there. In Bangor Abbey, by the way, which is where Mike Bickle got his revelation for IHOP, they had 24-hour prayer and praise for almost 200 years. You know, so, yeah, I had something, yeah, we got to get it back. Anyway, so what was I going to, what was I going to tell you about? Oh, but I was going to talk about breaking boxes. That was just a little side thing. So I want you to, you know, I think a lot of Americans tend to think that, you know, Christianity started with the Pilgrim Fathers, you know, or something like that. And they don't think back much further than that. But if you know, go back to the 2nd century Desert Fathers and the 5th century Fathers in Ireland, Scotland, and 10th century in Russia, all kinds of awesome revivals are there. So, you know, I like to get that history, try and bring it back, because them without us is not made perfect. And us without them is not made perfect. So I like to break some boxes. So I like to tell stories, what God's doing, because it's good for you, because it helps you stretch a little bit, you know, breaks a few mindsets. Because whether we realize it or not, we have little mindsets that you don't realize you have until someone presses your button. Have you ever had that? You didn't know you even thought that. You didn't know you until you... I have a book back there, it's called 52 Lies Heard in Church Every Sunday. And it's very challenging because you don't realize how you think till somebody shows it to you, and you're like, whoa! I know a lot of people got offended. That's good. You know, if you get offended, that's good, because if something's rubbing you, you know, something's poking you a little bit, say, it's good to be poked. It's good for me. Say it, it's good for me. See, that you know the little eagles in the nest? You know the mom eagle, she puts a lining. It's very comfortable in there. It's warm and cozy. And when she wants them to fly, she takes the lining out. And all those sticks start pricking in them and make them uncomfortable. See, then she starts kicking them out. Say, no one can make you as uncomfortable as the comforter. You notice that? Okay, I'm going to tell you a couple of stories, because I like to. I'll start off with the easy one, okay. How many of you realize this, that the devil really doesn't care how much you know? He's not interested. He doesn't care how much you know. I go to a lot of places, and sometimes it feels like there's a nail in my foot to the floor. So a religious spirit. It doesn't mean you're not doing anything, because you can do this. Can't you? Can do it really quick. So you can be very busy doing good things and miss the God thing. How many of you done that before? You can be very busy working for Jesus and totally miss the anointing. You can be so busy working for Jesus that you totally miss divine appointments. See, he doesn't want you to work for him. He wants you to yield to him so that he can work through you. But he doesn't want you out there trying to work for him. Okay, don't call us, we'll call you. He doesn't want you to work for him because you just get in the way mostly. So he's not looking for workers really. He's looking for his sons and daughters to rise up and be who he called them to be. So that's me. You know, I tell people it's yielding, not trying. Trying can be very trying. Trying can be very trying. So Jesus actually doesn't want you to work for him. He wants you to yield to him. Then he can work. See, God does not anoint what you do. He anoints what he does. The glory of God will never come on what you do, never. The glory of God comes on what he does. And actually, the glory comes when it's all him. It doesn't come when it's, you know, 90% God and 10% us or anything. It comes when it's all him. If you want to see the glory, you have to really get in the grace, because it's totally 100% grace. There's nothing you can do to add to your salvation. There's nothing you can do to add to what Jesus did. And there's nothing you can not do to take away from it. What he did completely, 100%. See, look, when I talk about salvation, everyone knows that. Everyone knows they're saved by grace through faith, 100%. But later on, when I talk about, say this after me, the realm of the Spirit, supernatural realm, the angels, heavenly visitations, the chariots of God, and all that good stuff. Meant to be. Normal part of my life. See, I'm going to make you say that 10 times so you really get it stuck in there. I noticed something, that when you make people say things, they remember better. That's true. So that's why I do that. Anyway, so, see, when I talk about salvation, everybody knows they're saved, it's grace by faith. But when I talk about those things, angels, supernatural, the chariots, the visitations, people tend to feel not qualified. They tend to feel, well, that's for him and her. They're those kind of spirit people. But, you know, I'm just Susie, I'm just Mary. You know, and the problem with that is it's a feeling. Nobody stands up here and actually teaches that, but it is implied all the time. I mean, even some of the big conferences, TV things, it's an implication. You see, as soon as you've got to do more of this and less of that, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do this, and religious spirits always provoke striving. They always provoke you to try and, like, strive in some way. But see, the glory never comes where there's striving, trying, working at it, legalism. The glory comes where the grace of God is. The trouble is, for most Christians, is that it's so easy. Everybody wants to work at it. You know, the biggest problem people have is when I tell them not to do anything. Anyway, I'll explain that further. I want to tell you a story. Because, you see, like I said, the devil really doesn't care how much you know. He could care less. He can outquote you any day. You know, I've cast religious devils out of people that have come out quoting scriptures to me that I had to go and look up. It's true. Because they get these obscure scriptures and quote them at you, really. Anyway, so I had this one demon tell me and David, we cast demon out this person. My husband says, they come out of him in the name of Jesus. In my name they shall cast out devils. And this demon said, you can't quote that, it's not in the original. And he said, Schofield said so. Anyway, for my story, okay. So the devil doesn't care how much you know. You can go to Bible school your entire life and totally miss the anointing. You can go to 5 Bible studies and 10 prayer meetings every week and still miss the anointing. Because it's a prayer meeting doesn't mean it's anointed. Right. Have you been to those kind of prayer meetings? That's hard. Wearying. But as soon as you start to get in the anointing, guess what? The devil wakes up. Because, like, he doesn't care what you know. He just doesn't want you to get in the anointing. Because it's only the anointing that affects his kingdom. You doing this for 20 years doesn't affect a hamster, let alone the devil's kingdom. You working at it for 20 years is not going to affect anything in the spirit realm. See, the spirit realm is where things are really affected, right? If apart from the anointing, you don't affect God's kingdom either, because it's only the anointing and the power of God that affects the spiritual realms. So like I said, the devil doesn't care what you know, as long as he keeps you out of the anointing, because the anointing has the power to what? Destroy the devil's yoke. You see, you don't have power to destroy the yoke just because you're a Christian. You can be a Christian and never get in the anointing. I was a Christian for 10 years, knew nothing about the anointing. And I occasionally got a touch from God. But I mean, I knew nothing about how to walk in the anointing. That's what that book you got is really good. So I want to tell you this story about the anointing. Because how many of you know that sometimes you can't even say anything? You can't even say anything, but the anointing can still move. So I'll tell you this that happened. Excuse me, I'm a bit sniffy. dropping these everywhere. This was a couple of years ago. When I go to New Zealand, there's always the same angel in New Zealand that's at all my meetings in New Zealand. I'm going to talk about angels a bit tomorrow. You know, I'm going to tell you how angels minister to you, and they minister with you in your ministry. They're assigned to your ministry. Some of them are assigned to you personally. And actually, you're their assignment. So I'm going to teach you about that tomorrow. But anyway, so the angel in New Zealand, he's all at my meetings, and sometimes he comes to my house, okay? I have a lot of pastors in Australia and New Zealand. They're my grandsons. They call themselves my grandsons. And so I know their work, and I know the angels that are over their churches. So sometimes they visit me. In fact, a church in Auckland, the pastor's awesome young guy, he actually, when he got hold of the grace message, he threw everything in. He had 30-odd churches, and he shut it all down and said it's built on works. It's built on me getting people to work at it. He closed it with, now he's in a revival. But anyway, I know the angel over that church, and I was at my computer. This wasn't too long ago. I sent something behind me. I turned around, and I recognized the angel from Tim's church in Auckland. He was standing behind me. And he was totally dressed up like Braveheart. Blue face and everything. He's just smiling. So I said, what are you doing? He said, the Freedom Meeting. And then Tim from Auckland, he emailed me. And he said, guess what I'm going to do on Sunday? I said, you're going to dress up like Braveheart. He said, how did you know that? I said, because your angel's here and he's already dressed up like Braveheart. So your angel does what you do. Anyway, he drove with me to Orlando. Then he suddenly left. I knew he was going to Auckland for that Freedom Meeting. And they had this wild Freedom Meeting. And Pastor Tim dressed up like Braveheart. Well, fun. Church should be fun. Amen. Okay, so back to my story. So the angel that said my meeting's in New Zealand, he came to my house. This was a couple of years ago. And I was in my bedroom. I think I just finished getting dressed or something. And he came, he sang me this song. He sang me the entire song from Aladdin, A Whole New World. I didn't even know the words. I only knew the first line. He sang me the whole song. I don't know it. A whole new world, a new fantastic point of view. It's the most awesome song. When you get home, pull it up on YouTube, but pull up the Disney one, because the Disney one has the words. It was awesome. He just sang me this entire song. And then he said to me, Kathy, there's a whole new world for you if you believe it and receive it. So I thought, well, I already go around the world. That's not a problem. So I said, great, fine. Now, when you get something like that, it's never just for you. How many of you realize that? It's never just for you. It's really for everybody. Just that some people see it and others don't. So, but if you remember that song, I don't know if you saw that movie, the song, it started off, the prince said to Jasmine, do you trust me? Remember? And he reached out his hand and he took her on that carpet ride and she saw things from a whole new perspective. It's an amazing song. Anyway, he said, there's a whole new world for you. And I said, oh, they're great. That's no problem, you see. And that's great. You know, I just love going around the world anyway. But about 10 minutes later, he went. About 10 minutes later, I got a text message from a pastor friend of mine in Singapore. And he said, Kathy, we want you to come and help train some leaders. I said, I'll be there. Because I love Singapore. Got lots of shops. Shop heaven, Singapore. You got a nice Hilton downtown, you know. They'd not be there. Anyway, so I said, I'll be there. Then he texted me back about 5 minutes later and he said, oh, by the way, I'm not in Singapore. I'm in Siberia. And I'm like, you know, can you take back? I wish they had a button you could take back text, honestly. I do. They should invent one. You know what I mean? You should be able to send a text and it waits 2 minutes. You know what I mean? Before that other person gets it. So you have a chance to take it back. I've wished that several times. Anyway. But I thought, he said, would David come with you, my husband? So I said, no, he's not going to come with me. Definitely not. So he said, do you have a friend that would come with you? Because he said, I don't want to go on my own. So I thought of Deanne. And my friend in Florida, I thought she's up for anything. So I said, yeah, I have a friend. He said, what's her email? So I gave him Deanne's email, you see. Well, I didn't really think anything more about it. I tried not to. Because I was kind of hoping, I was just a whim. You know what I mean? It just kind of flitted through his mind and he's going to forget about it and never email me about that again or never text me about it. So I'd never mentioned it. I never texted him or, you know, anything. But about 6 weeks later, so I thought he'd forgotten now, you know, I haven't heard anything. So I went in the office and on my secretary's desk, I'd love to know what you're writing. Very interesting. Don't make notes, you can get the CD. I think people miss something sometimes when they can get the CD. But he's not, he's probably writing notes to his friend. He's going to pass it along the row in a minute. Okay, okay. So when I get to, yeah, so I went into the office, and there's this package on my secretary's desk, you see. So she said, this is for you. So I said, what is it? So she said, it's your visa and stuff for Siberia. I said, visa? She said, yes, it's been signed by the head of the Assemblies of God in the whole of Russia. Very hard visa to get. I said, how am I supposed to get to Siberia? She said, oh, they sent money for the tickets to Deanne. So Deanne has got the tickets. You know, they forgot to tell me. She forgot to tell me. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I ended up in Singapore. And then went from, you know, I did a conference there. Went to China, to Beijing. Had a great time, you know, up on the wall there. And the anointing was falling all over the place. You know, I don't know if you've been to Beijing, anybody? It's like New York. You know, I said to the guys in the hotel, hey, this is supposed to be communist and you were supposed to be poor. What's the deal with the, you know, this New York look, you know? So they said, oh, communist, yes, but we discovered money. Wow. I thought, that'll do it. Anyway, so, you know, we had a great time there. We waited for the team from Singapore to catch up with us. Then we got a flight to Russia, okay? Anybody been to Russia or Siberia? Siberia is worse than general Russia because it's had decades, hundreds of years of death. Terrible stuff happening in Siberia for generations, hundreds of years. You know, the death camps were there, the work camp, it was a dreadful place. So when the plane landed in Siberia, you know, it's quite a decent plane, pulled up to the gates, but you could feel the, you know what I mean? Oh, it was really heavy. Plus, the Christians are so religious, you know. So it's like, so we got up, you know, from our seats to get off, me and Deanne, we sat in the aisle. Suddenly this angel got on the plane, Siberian angel. You see, and he came up the aisle. And we thought, was he going to say something? But he didn't, he started pushing us around. You see, he was pushing Deanne around saying, lighten up. And he was pushing me around saying, lighten up. So we were like falling all around the plane. You know, so laugh because we couldn't stand, because every time he stood up, he pushed us again. We were falling over, just laughing hysterically. Well, the Russian flight attendant came up and he said, I see a light over you. We said, oh, okay. He said, it's from the church in the sky. So we're looking out the window, we said, no, the church in the sky, it's from the church in the sky. I don't think he knew what he was talking about, really. But anyway, so the angel keeps pushing us around. The Singapore pastor said, straighten up. You know, we're going to get arrested in there if you carry on like that. But we couldn't stop because every time we tried to stay, you know, you're like, so straighten, lighten up. So we go into the building where the security is. The security building, and they think they're paid to intimidate you. You know, it's like, whoa. So, and we're still like giggling, and he's still pushing us around. The Singapore party saying, just stop it because we're going to all get arrested. Well, have you ever tried to stop? You know, the more you try and stop, the worse it gets, doesn't it? So he's still pushing around saying, lighten up, lighten up. So we thought, well, I don't know what to do. The Singapore pastor decides if you can't beat them, join them. But he got in this religious thing, you know, instead of, so he walked around the airport going, onward Christian soldiers, and we're like, that's it. Anyway, you know, we couldn't say it was so funny, and then I thought, I don't know what to do, because everybody's like just looking at us, and then this guy's trying to stamp my passport, and he starts getting drunk. He starts getting drunk and laughing hysterically and falling off the chair. I never did get my passport stamped. He'd fallen off the chair. This laughter, 19, fell on all the security. All these security people are laughing hysterically. I mean, hysterically. So that just that 19 just fell on them. You didn't know what they were laughing at. And so the supervisor guy came running out to see what all the commotion was, and he put his hand on my back. When he did, he fell on the floor, started laughing hysterically. You see, so we're like, so they really couldn't speak English. You know, they knew enough to say visa, passport, but you know. So they're saying, what? And we're saying, Jesus? Because we couldn't tell them any, couldn't explain anything, you know. So anyway, after a little while, they're going like this. So there was an English guy there. I said, do you know what they're saying? He said, yes. They said they can taste honey. And the Lord said to me, yes. And when someone can tell them about Jesus, I'll put that same taste in their mouth. Amen. And they'll identify it with something good. Anyway, so we had an awesome time. I did a conference in one place, and it was really funny. They didn't like women. I don't know why I was there. I think it was a trick. There was like this 800 people church, and the pastors, they were very religious guys. I'm sure they were sweet, but like, you know. So what they did was they did the serious workshops, and they gave me the church building with the little old babushka ladies with their scarves, you know. I think they thought I'm a woman, so I'm, you know, harmless probably, you know, and I could entertain the little ladies and give them a nice lesson or something, you know. Well, so they went out. Well, the first day, I mean, these poor people, if you could imagine, these people had never seen anyone laugh in church. They'd never seen anyone fall out in the spirit. They'd never had anything except scolding. That's how it is in a lot of religious churches, like this scolding kind of spirit. You know, it's horrible, isn't it? Scolding spirit is horrible because it really can crush somebody. Anyway, if that, you know, if you've been under that, you need to get that broken off you, because those words go in your ears. You know, words go in your ears and sow seeds at the back of your mind, don't they? Anyway, so, but the first, I don't know how to do anything else except be me. I don't know how to do any religious thing. I don't know how to do anything else. So I had a great interpreter. She was awesome, the best interpreter I've ever had in my life. Whatever I did, she did. If I laughed, she laughed. If I jumped, she jumped. If I sang, she sang. You know, most of them don't do that. They just, you know. So the end of the first day, these ladies were like smiling, you know. And then the second day, like the church was probably a third full. The second day, the church was probably two-thirds full. And the second day, they were laughing. Actually laughing in the church. You don't realize what that... That's, you know, huge. The pastor's very disapproving when they came out of the workshops. The third day, the church is packed. People just laughing hysterically. Because they'd never had that before. Never seen it before. The fourth day and the last day, there was as many people outside as there were inside. TBN Russia showed up. Then the camera guys didn't know what to do because the camera guy kept getting frozen in the spirit. You see? So I don't know what the tape, I don't know what the DVD came out like. It must have been really weird. Because he'd suddenly get frozen in the spirit for like 3 or 4 minutes, you know. And the other guy's trying to like poke him. I'm saying, he can't hear you. Can't hear you. And then he suddenly... Anyway, we thought, well, you know, this is the last meeting, so this is the meeting we should pray for people. So we started to pray for people. Now, we got these guys, these catchers, and we... Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to explain to people how to catch somebody, and they have no idea what you're talking about. Through an interpreter, we said, we're going to pray... And people might, like, fall over. They're like, huh? What? We said, well, just, you know, if they do, just cat. And they're like, what? Anyway, so after about 10 minutes, we explained to these guys about catching people. We lined them up beside all the... I mean, there's just hundreds of people there by now, you know, trying to get down the front. So we did, and I started praying for people, and they all fell over sideways. Anyway, when we left that night, there's many people outside. It was amazing. The Prince of God just went like that. Those pastors were all mad, really mad, except for one, because they thought we disrupted the workshops because there was no one in the workshops. Because the people were hungry. They were hungry. And so, when we left, we probably got kissed by 500 people. My face was all soaking wet, you know. Anyway, what I'm saying is that it's really only the anointing. You see, it's nothing to do with your ability. It's nothing to do with your ability. God's not looking for people's ability, he's looking for availability. He's looking for somebody to say, whatever. That's a good, say Jesus, whatever. He heard you. He heard you. So you have to have a whatever, I call it a whatever spirit. Because guess what, in these days, there's a lot of suddenlies. There's a lot of suddenlies, and we all say, until we get one. You know. And then you have, but I'll tell you this story too quick. When I was in, I was in the Gold Coast in Australia, and I actually played that song, that Aladdin song, A Whole New World. And I said to people, you know, it's an invitation, but you have to be open. You have to be open for suddenly. So I'm so open. I was just saying that to Beverly tonight. See, look, this is what I think. You only have one life down here. What do you, I mean, you might as well have adventures and have some fun. I mean, otherwise boring. You're not going to get another shot, you know. You're not coming back as a hamster or something. You know, to have another go. This is it. You know, you're going to spend eternity in heaven. But here, as far as this life is concerned, that's it, guys. You might as well have some fun. My mom got saved when she was 76. She'd never been anywhere except in England. She took off. She went all over Europe, went to Israel a couple of times, came to America a couple of times. Mind you, she put it all on a credit card. Then she died. I'm not advocating that. Don't leave here and say Kathy Walters said we should all get a credit card. No. I didn't say that, but that did happen. I thought it was funny. I thought those people get enough money out of us, you know. Anyway, so I had people come on my Ireland, Scotland trips. I got two ladies coming. I think they're 76 or something, 75 or 76 or. I had one lady, she was 82. She caught up with everybody. Jeez. Anyway, so I'm so open. Don't say it if you don't mean it. Because I was going to tell you about this couple. So I'm on the Gold Coast and I played that song. I said to people, it's an invitation for everybody. So the couple that actually hosted the meetings, they took me out to dinner Sunday night and said, Kathy, we decided we're going to go through the next door, whatever that is, and we're gonna move out somehow. Because they were kind of going, I mean, they had quite a successful ministry, but you know, when you feel like there's more, it's very frustrating sometimes. So I said to them, I don't know why I said, why don't you come with me to Hawaii? They said, when are you going to Hawaii? And I said, tomorrow. Well, they didn't come with me the next day, but they were on that plane on Tuesday. And they came to Hawaii, flew from the Gold Coast, Australia, to Hawaii. They helped me the whole week in a conference. On Sunday, I was really tired. I mean, Saturday night, because I'd been in New Zealand, been in Australia, been there all week, and I'm tired. And actually, a couple of times I preached Sunday morning in Auckland, New Zealand, flew to Sydney in the afternoon, had supper with my friends, got the night flight to Honolulu, and preached Sunday morning. Yeah, it's 23-hour time change. Anyway, so Sunday I thought, you know, I'm tired, I'm not 20 years old anymore. So I said to the pastor, do you mind if Vagod preaches? That's the guy, Hawaiian guy. I mean, the New Zealand guy that lived in Australia. So he said, oh, I don't care who preaches. So I stayed in bed. Vagod preached Sunday morning. 67 churches opened up to his ministry. He was there for 5 months. Then he went from there to America, to the UK, to Europe, back to the UK, back to America, back to Hawaii, back to Australia. You see, but how easy to miss that door. Because they have what you have. You know, they had an apartment and a dog and a this and a that, you know, and the rent and the electric and all that kind of stuff. So I never did ask them, what they did, I didn't want to know, you know. But so what I'm saying is, suddenly, it's amazing what you can do if you have to. You know, isn't it? See, we say all these things, and then there's always these like reasons, we can't do this, we can't do that. Well, if you have to, sometimes, if you really want to, you can. My trip, by the way, my Ireland, Scotland trip, if you're interested, you can give me, make sure I have your email, so you can be on my mail list. But it's actually not a ministry trip. It's not a mission trip. It's a chill out, get drunk in the spirit, and get delivered trip. Because you know what? Christians need to do that stuff. It's not all working at it. Sometimes, you know, you have to let God get you. No, you have to chill out, let God get hold of you. Some of the most powerful things I've seen is like when you're in the restaurant or something, you're just chilling out and having fun, and suddenly the anointing falls like that. In fact, when I was in Ireland a couple of years ago, no, Scotland, we missed the ferry back from Iona. On this trip, I had 30, were you on that trip? I had 30 women in ministry. 30 women, pastor, listen to this, 30 women in full-time ministry, right? We got on the boat, the ferry, anointing came on me, I was so drunk. They just lifted me onto the boat, put me in the thing, they all sat around, and I heard this voice. It was a voice, and it said, "Thank you, write it down, we'll look at it later." And I saw somebody had a word from the Lord, and they presented it to the leadership in this church, and that's the reaction they got. And when I spoke it out, I said, and that's brought a dumb spirit on people. And 28 of those women got delivered from a dumb spirit right there on that boat, and they're all in ministry. See, that a dumb spirit doesn't mean you can't talk. But it snatches away your authority when you do talk. That's what it does. So, anyway, so that's what it's for. It's to chill out, have fun, go shopping. And I promise you, you'll get delivered. You're going to be on a bus with me for 2 weeks. Somebody's going to change. It's not going to be me. It's my trip. I'll tell you what, people's lives have been totally changed, haven't they? Completely. God can do more when you're not trying. Amen. All right? Actually, you look just like that guy on the Gold Coast that went to Hawaii. Vagod, his name is. I'll have to send you a picture of him. Just like you. Okay, so, you know, actually, I've got lots of stories. But I want to talk to you about the three main religious spirits that affect almost everybody in the body of Christ, because they're so... I got a new Bible. Do you like it? I don't like dark Bibles. But it's new, so I can't find anything. It's the only wrong. So let me go through these three quickly, because I believe these are the main religious spirits in America that prevent people from receiving. They're very subtle. Before I go there, though, I want to just very quickly tell you, you know, why in my office they only sent like 6 or 7 of the Getting Free CDs, I'll never know, but they're recording tonight, so you can get the CD of tonight. Because these things I'm going to talk about in a minute are the most basic things. And if you don't get these right, nothing's going to be right. It's, you know, what happened was we were, our pastor years ago, before we were spirit-filled, our pastor was probably the greatest expository preacher in the world, a man by the name of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones in London. And he was a very renowned, world-famous expository preacher. So we had all this theology up to here. I mean, loads of it. But, you know, we didn't know anything about the spirit realm. And so I struggled and struggled and struggled with all this theology because I couldn't live in it. Anybody been there? Not fun, is it? You know, you do 4 steps forward and 6 steps back all the time. So after about 10 years, I quit. I didn't want to tell people that I didn't want to be a Christian, you know, because they would have come after me with their big black Bibles. So I figured out the best thing to do is to leave. So the furthest place I could think of to go was Australia from London. So I persuaded a friend of mine to come with me, and we left and kind of half emigrated to Australia. I had been engaged to David, my husband, but we broke that off. I went to Australia and I backslid really bad. Anybody backslid really bad? I backslid very badly. I actually ended up engaged to someone in the mafia, in the Lebanese mafia. And the thing was, I was having a good time in a worldly sense. You know, Christians tend to think everyone out there's miserable, and in the gutter, they're not. Some of them are having a good old time, which is why you've got to get something good. You know, they've got to have what you want. I mean, they've got to want what you have. They've got to want what you have. You know, it's no good, you know, being like, well, you know, I tell people, in where I live in Macon, Georgia, which is the buckle on the Southern Bible Belt, it is. It's very religious, man. I mean, you know, people go to church looking reasonably happy. And they come out looking, they're just a bunch of lemons, you know. It's true. And they don't look happy again till they get to the cafeteria before the Baptist. It's like a race. Wow. Anyway, you know, I say nearly all towns have one of these people from time to time. But we had this guy, bless his heart, you know, I'm sure he meant well. But he'd be the downtown area, you know, with the tracks. And he's like, giving out his tracks, you know, abundant life, abundant life, abundant life. And you'd want to say, have you got this life? Yes. You know. And you'd really want to say, well, if you've got it, you can keep it. Because I've got enough problems of my own. Look at that. So you've got to have something good. You know, they have to want what you got. Anyway, it's true. And, you know, people know. I have revivals at airports. Just anointing, I just have awesome revivals. I've had every Delta agent leave their line of people and come and get prayed for. Yeah. And I was on this plane. Actually, I was going from Houston. I was going from Houston back to Atlanta. I was in first class. I believe it. I get upgrades. I'm a diamond million miler. I don't fly without an upgrade. I say, if I don't get an upgrade, I'm not flying. I cancel the flight. Okay, Mrs. Waters. Anyway, so I'm in first class sitting there before the plane takes off. And the flight attendant, she said to me, aren't you Kathy Walters? I said, yeah. She said, I've been in one of your meetings. She said, would you come and pray for the other flight attendant? She's a Baptist. So I said, no. I'm not going to pray for her unless she wants me to, because I don't pray for people that don't want me to pray for them. She said, oh, she's hungry. She does. So I went to the front, you see, and I'm praying for this little Baptist girl. The Lord gave me a word of knowledge. She's like, oh, how did you know that? You know. Anyway, so we're ministering to her. This guy gets up from the first class, you know, and he pulls on the flight attendant's jacket, you know, and he's like, excuse me, where's our drinks? She said, would you sit down because we're praying? And he said, oh, okay. When he sat down, you know. So we finished up, and when I went back to my seat, he like pulls on my jacket and he said, excuse me. I thought he was going to tell me off. I said, yes. He said, do we all get a wish? I said, why not? You can all have a wish. So I prayed for everybody to get a wish. God grants wishes. That means desires of the heart. So, where was I going? Oh, anyway, so I'm in Australia. I'm engaged to someone in the mafia. And I was having a good old time. You know, this guy had put him out. I was having a good old time. Now, I was saved. I was saved because, you know, if you've ever backslidden like that, you know, the presence of God comes and you like to push it away. I was saved. I was. I don't care what anybody says, I was saved. I just try not to be. Right. Only because of what I thought was expected. Right. You know, I mean, in those, how many of you came out of like fundamentalist, theological, puritanical, ultra Calvinistic church? It's not fun, is it? It's heavy. So, you know, and in those, I don't know if you ever got this, but I mean, you know, in our church, and our pastor was a lovely man, he had a lot of theology, but we used to read these books about revival. Do you ever read those old books? They never mentioned anything fun. It was all weeping and crying out to God, who sometimes heard and sometimes didn't, because it was Calvinist. So you cried out, you know, and God might do something. He might not, because he's sovereign. So we read all these books where people prayed and mourned and wept and carried on for like 20 years. And I used to say to God, look, I don't know if I want to be in a revival. And I don't have 20 years to pray for a revival. I don't have that kind of patience. You know, if there's a revival and you want me to be in it, you have to tell me where to go. Because, you know, it was so depressing. Anyway, when we come into the spirit things, then I started reading books, John Wesley, leaving tongue-talking people rolling around in the dirt. We never read that part. That got chopped out. That got chopped off. So anyway, that's different. But you only get the certain things, you know what I mean? All right. Hey, you missed a lot of good stories. You'll have to get the CD. That's true. Didn't I tell some good stories? I did. Okay, so I'm minding my own business, having a good time, you know, and then one day I'm in this exhibition because sometimes I always liked people, so, you know, I sometimes work at exhibition in Sydney. And so I went into the, you know, Australia, they have tea like the English. So I went for my tea break, this little tea room, and suddenly I heard all these angels singing songs from an old English hymn. Oh, love that will not let me go. You don't really sing that in America, but it's a beautiful old English hymn. So I heard these angels singing. I just heard the whole couple verses. I rest my weary soul in thee. I chase the rainbow through the rain. Feel the promise is not vain, that life shall endless be. And that the love of God just went through me. I started to weep and cry. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Kathy, I'll never let you go. And I came back to the Lord like that. Anyway, I started weeping, you know, and crying. And it was funny because the people I was with didn't even ask me what was wrong. I mean, that's weird, isn't it? You start crying, somebody say, what's wrong, honey? Nobody did. They called a cab, put me in the cab, sent me home. So I am... So, you know, I was trying to get right with God best as I knew how. And I had a vision of Jesus on a white horse. It filled my whole apartment. But there was only one problem. I didn't believe in visions. Because I was been told that wasn't for now. That was just to give the early church a kickstart. I used to think, what about me? If anyone needs a kickstart, me. But it wasn't to be. It's like, you know... You belong to some old fundamentalist, Southern Baptist, whatever, Puritan, Calvinistic church, and you go to some conference and you get filled with the Holy Ghost and start speaking in tongues, and you come back and you tell everyone because you're so excited. You say, I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I spoke in tongues. And they say, that's not for today. You say, well, you should have told me that yesterday. Late now, I've already got it. So it's kind of like that. I have this vision, but, you know, my mind's like... So anyway, this anointing fell on me. But I didn't know it was the anointing. I never heard of the anointing in my life. The Prince of God just fell on me. I know what to do with it. But everyone I spoke to got saved. It almost didn't matter what I said. I could have said anything. They still want whatever it was. You know, I could have sang Bar Bar Black Sheep. They would have still got saved. Because whatever that was, people actually followed me in the street. That reminds me of that story in Ireland, you know, on our tour group. You know that song, that music I was playing in the beginning, from Fireland? My group was at that, it's an Irish, Celtic, prophetic, worship, intercession conference that was recorded.